What drives someone to risk their life 19 times to free people they've never met? Harriet Tubman wasn't born fearless. She was forged in trauma. At 12, an overseer hurled a 2-pound lead weight at her skull, fracturing it so severely she nearly died. For the rest of her life, she'd fall into sudden, unpredictable sleep episodes, vulnerable to capture at any moment. Yet this same woman became so formidable that slaveholders offered $40,000 for her capture, more than $1 million today, and never caught her. She didn't just escape slavery. She returned to its heart again and again, guided by visions she believed were messages from God. Her story forces us to confront an uncomfortable truth. Freedom isn't given. It's seized by those brave enough to believe they deserve it. Slavery was a machine designed to break spirits through calculated separation. Young Araminta Ross watched helplessly as two sisters were dragged away screaming by Georgia traders. Unlike death, these sales left families with endless, gnawing grief. Her grandmother survived the Middle Passage from Africa. Her mother, Rit, was promised freedom at 45, along with any children born enslaved. That promise was stolen through legal fraud, a betrayal Harriet discovered years later when she paid a lawyer $5 to investigate. Cruelty breeds resistance. When traders came for another son, Rit hid him in the woods for a month, then stood in her doorway threatening to split open any man's head who entered. Harriet absorbed these lessons early. At 5, she cared for a baby despite being barely more than a child, receiving 5 lashes before breakfast when the infant cried. At 7, she stole sugar and hid in a pig pen for days. She learned to layer thick clothes beneath her dress before whippings, then wailed convincingly as if blows landed on bare skin. Survival required endurance and cunning, qualities that would make her the Underground Railroad's most successful conductor. Harriet's faith was fierce and practical. After her skull injury caused narcoleptic spells and vivid dreams, she interpreted these visions as divine guidance. When Master Edward Brodus planned to sell herself in 1849, she prayed, "Change that man's heart, Lord." When nothing changed, her prayer shifted. "Lord, if you ain't never gonna change that man's heart, kill him." His death shortly after brought both guilt and clarity. This moment reveals a crucial truth. Faith without action is wishful thinking. At 19, she'd married John Tubman, a free black man. 5 years later, still childless and haunted by nightmares of being sold, she faced her defining choice. "There was one of two things I had a right to, liberty or death. If I could not have one, I would have the other." Escaping in September 1849, she traveled 90 miles to Philadelphia, taking her mother's name Harriet while keeping her husband's surname. The woman who emerged was fundamentally different, reborn through the baptism of her own courage. Most people imagine the Underground Railroad as a fixed network of safe houses. The reality was far more fluid and dangerous. When Harriet escaped, she followed the Choptank River northeast, moving only at night. A white Quaker woman gave her a paper with two names, the first thread in a network that would eventually stretch from Maryland to Canada. What makes her extraordinary? Most fugitives never looked back. Harriet did the opposite. In December 1850, barely a year after escaping, she returned to Maryland to rescue her niece and two children from a slave auction. She traveled south by train, reasoning that a black woman entering slave states aroused less suspicion than one leaving. By 1851, she'd committed fully to this work, making at least one or two trips yearly into slave territory. She developed a seasonal rhythm: rescue missions in fall, winter in Canada with freed families, spring and summer earning money in northern cities. She carried a pistol and once aimed it at a terrified fugitive who wanted to turn back, growling, "Move or die." Her narcoleptic spells enhanced her mystical reputation. Thomas Garrett, a Quaker station master, marveled that she seemed guided by divine providence, experiencing a flutter in her heart that told her when to change course. When the Civil War erupted in 1861, Harriet crossed back into the United States, still a wanted fugitive with a bounty on her head. She joined Massachusetts troops at Fort Monroe, Virginia, initially working as a cook, laundress, and nurse. By early 1863, with support from Colonels Thomas Higginson and James Montgomery, she'd established an intelligence network that would change the war in South Carolina. This formerly enslaved woman, who couldn't read or write, was now running spy operations for the Union Army. She recruited locals like Solomon Gregory to infiltrate Confederate territory, gathering intelligence on troop movements, supply lines, and river mines. Her masterpiece was the June 1863 Combahay River Raid, personally guiding three gunboats upriver using her network's intelligence to avoid Confederate mines and defenses. The raid liberated more than 750 enslaved people, while defenders managed only four ineffective shots. The symbolism devastated the Confederacy. Prestigious plantations belonging to the Haywards, Middletons, and Lowndes families were left bereft and humiliated. Confederate reports acknowledged the enemy was well-guided, but couldn't credit a black woman with outsmarting them. The raid proved Tubman's strategic brilliance rivaled any West Point graduate's. After the war, Harriet transformed her Auburn, New York home into a refuge for the elderly, disabled, and orphans. She became a powerful voice for women's suffrage, declaring, "I suffered enough to believe it." Her oratory skills made her a sought-after speaker at conventions nationwide. Her greatest battle was bureaucratic, a 30-year fight for military compensation. Despite invaluable service, she lacked documentation, a common problem for black operatives whose contributions went unrecorded. Facing mounting bills while supporting aging parents, she renewed her claim in 1867 with abolitionist help. Friend Sarah Bradford published an authorized biography, raising over $1,200. In 1869, at nearly 50, she married Nelson Davis, a 25-year-old black Union veteran. Their public wedding at Auburn's Central Presbyterian Church was everything her first enslaved marriage couldn't be. In 1896, she purchased the neighboring estate for $1,450, transforming it with AME Zion Church support into the Harriet Tubman Home for Aged and Indigent Colored People, the only such charity dedicated to sheltering African Americans outside New York City. When Harriet Tubman died in March 1913, she received a military funeral, an extraordinary honor for a black woman born into slavery. Auburn honored her with a bronze tablet, and Booker T. Washington delivered the keynote address at the 1914 dedication. Her legacy has grown through hotlines, statues, and schools, though she remains contested. Maryland officials once balked at depicting her with her rifle, while conservatives weaponize her memory against revisionist history. But here's what they can't erase. For thousands of African Americans, Tubman delivered their ancestors to freedom, a gift echoing through generations. Her most famous words challenge anyone facing impossible odds. If you are tired, keep going. If you are scared, keep going. If you are hungry, keep going. If you want to taste freedom, keep going. Frederick Douglass wrote that while his anti-slavery work brought applause, Tubman's only reward was "God bless you," with the midnight sky and the silent stars as witnesses. Today, we are her witnesses. In a world that asks people to wait patiently for justice, Harriet Tubman's life asks, "What are you willing to risk for someone else's freedom?" She walked through fire 19 times, never losing a passenger. She didn't wait for permission or perfect conditions. She saw what needed doing and did it. Keep going.